Hello, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. They're one in the same. Did you know that? It's true. It is. Author to Author is funded or is brought to you by Author Magazine. We the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. Our latest issue is up, and we've got a great video interview. Jeff Ayers, one of my associate editors, sat down with the author and publisher, John Robb, to talk all about the evolving world of publishing. So check that out at authormagazine.org. And we're funded by the Great Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. You can learn more about the PNWA at pnwa.org. I will be teaching some classes for the PNWA this fall, starting this weekend, beginning memoir and intermediate memoir, 2 5-week classes. You can take the class if you're a member or even if you're not a member of the PNWA. You live here in the Northwest. So again, if you're interested in either of those, go to pnwa.org. You know, if you are a writer, one thing I've learned about being a writer is that, you know, unlike other professions, you can have sort of financial and professional success at certain professions, like being a doctor or a lawyer or even a tennis coach, and make a very good living and have what we would consider success, and yet not particularly like the thing you're doing. This is not true of writing. You have to love it. You can't have any success unless you love to do it. And at least I've never met anyone who doesn't love to do it who's also having success at it. And it is in many ways a calling. It is part of our purpose. And as once you do learn to write and discover you want to write, you have to learn what you want to write. What is it you're drawn to write? You must be able to answer that question as a writer to know what you want to do, which is why I'm so glad to have on the show today Mr. Rhys Thomas, whose latest book, Discover Your Purpose, How to Use the 5 Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potential and Live the Life You Were Meant to Live. This addresses this very issue. Rhys Thomas is a visionary author, speaker, trainer, and coach in the personal growth and energy medicine field. He is the founder of the Rhys Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine and the creator of the Rhys Method, a powerful system of self-discovery, transformation, and healing. And he's on the show with me today. Rhys, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill. Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, I was, it's good. It's great to have you, Rhys. And I was rereading your subtitle again, what it takes to write, you know, the subtitle of my show is what it takes to write the book you want to write, is what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. And your book is about how to live the life you are meant to lead, to live, isn't
right?
It? About what you were meant to live, as opposed to the life you were maybe found yourself living. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I call it the life that you're supposed to live.
Yeah.
Because we know who we are when we're little kids, and we know we just have it because who we are is a feeling. There's no form to it. It's just this,
right.
This sense of aliveness within us. It's like, this is who I am. And pretty much from the get-go, your parents try to hook your attention and teach them their language and teach you the way to get along and how to be a good boy or a girl. First of all, you get labeled a boy or a girl. And there's a whole bunch of behaviors they have to do. And then, of course, you're big, you're small, you're smart, you're, you know, whatever it happens to be. And throughout life, you find out all these things that you're supposed to do. And in doing those things, you lose this deeper feeling of who you are. And when you can't feel who you are, you have no idea what you're supposed to do in the world.
That's right. It's absolutely true. Picasso said, I spent my 20s learning to draw like a master and the rest of my life learning to draw like a child.
That is so poignant to what we're doing here, because
that's right.
I take adults and show them that what we think is an adult is actually a child. When we become adults in our mind, sort of the archetype of adult is actually the archetype that the child created in their mind. The truth is that the child was the adult. The child was the adult. The child was the one who was totally alive, totally willing to try anything, willing to forgive, willing to love, willing to be vulnerable, and looking at the world like it's the Garden of Eden. And, you know, it's like everything's possible. And adults don't. And that's so I get people in what I call the midlife calling, where they come in and they realize that this being a good, you know, successful person hasn't necessarily done what it promised. And it's by its nature, it can't, because the only thing that fulfills us is really that deeper sense of enjoying our lives as we are, not as it is after I succeed at this or get that or achieve this.
Yes. And you said something interesting, and I'm paraphrasing, but you said that sort of until you – it reminded me of the challenge of every writer faces when they face the blank page, which is you were talking about how it's hard to know how to live your life unless you know what that purpose is, what it actually is that pleases you. And I know that for writers, one of the challenges when you face the blank page, there's no right answer to how to fill that page. You know, there is no right story except for your story. There is no right word but for your word. And the same is true of your life. There's no right life.
Right.
There's no external for life.
And yet, when you write from the soul, what you will be writing is you.
Right.
And that's the most important element of understanding anything you express through the fifth chakra, which is writing. The only thing you'll ever express is you. So if you come up with a fantastic idea and you write about it, but it doesn't somehow have your energy in it, it'll never sell. It'll never go out. It'll be a great thing. You'll write a fantastic novel or a book, and it'll just be words on a page. So the great authors, and this is I use in my school. I run an energy medicine school, a 3-year training in how to not just own your purpose, but be a really transformative element in the world. I teach people that the voice that you are putting out there, that each of us have this voice. And the way one of the things that I use is I use the great authors of our time who teach about spirituality and deep awareness, self-awareness and all, but also, you know, the popular authors in these genres. And each author I choose speaks through a very specific, what I call a profile, and speaks through a very specific chakra. So they have this, they've found their home, the place that they write from. And every book they write is written with that sort of self-knowledge, even though they may not even say, well, I know myself. But when they write, it comes from deep within them rather than their brain, because the brain can't write.
Oh, yeah.
And
no.
That's what the blank page is only blank to the brain. To the soul, the blank page is just as happy as the full page.
Absolutely. And one of the things I teach when I teach writing is that writing isn't thinking, it's listening. And it really is. You just every writer every creative writer I know understands that. But maybe talk about you talk about writing from the soul. I know what you mean when you say that. But the word soul can mean a lot of things to a lot of people.
Right.
What on a sort of experiential level, what does that mean to you?
I use soul. Working with energy medicine, we work at all of these levels of the energy field from the body all the way down to the soul. And there's 12 layers of this that we work with. But the soul, for all intents and purposes that we all have to use, what I've found after doing working with thousands of people, I found that there are five basic qualities, soul qualities within people, and we have to understand those. And there are people, if you're talking about writers, we're talking about writers who are incredibly creative, who will write the Eckhart Tolles, and they will write. You know, just these brilliant things. Deepak Chopra, just a person who's just brilliant and brings things that are amazing. And then we'll have people who write from their feelings, from their heart, from this deep, dark, sometimes place. A Debbie Ford, for instance, you know, or a Leo Baglia. People that are writing about, you know, love and the heart, and there are deep feelers. And then there are people that are what are called team players, and they tend not to write because they support the writer. They're the one who's saying,
right.
"Okay,
right.
here's enough time for you to write." So they're not going
right.
to. They're going to tend not to be writers, but they're the people that are the big, you know, they're people that are deeply supportive, and if they
yep.
wrote, they write about what you want you to, what they think you want them to write about, and
right, right.
and then there are knowledgeable achievers who write the textbooks and they write the history novels that are just so intricately mapped and organized, and then there are the leaders, and they what we call leaders or charmers, and they write all the steamy novels. They write all of the stuff that just totally it's just this fantasy and this world that you go into that you just get totally engulfed in their passion for it, and so there's these five kinds of people, and you can't get them to write or live or have a relationship or have a job or have health outside of that quality within them, because that's their soul quality. And we know people like that, and when we try to change them, it's always a disaster. And we know
yeah.
people like that within ourselves, and when we tried to change who we were, and as I grew up, I was definitely this creative, what I might call a creative idealist, a creative person, more the Eckhart Tolle type, and I think that this book is almost 400 pages. It's a little bit of an Eckhart Tolle book, but I grew up thinking that guys are supposed to be strong and competitive and organized. And I thought, that's what we call the achiever and the knowledgeable achiever. And my mom was a knowledgeable achiever. And I was like, that's what the right way to do it. And I tried forever to be that. And it no matter what I did, and I became very successful at it. I was very good at it. But my energy body only serves if your people understand chakras, your chakra system, your energy body, your aura only serves this one purpose, this deepest purpose. It's not that we don't all have a little bit of all of those five qualities, but we have one that we're here to express in the world, and especially when we're talking about writers, if that voice isn't inside the writing, you're going to have a very difficult time staying focused or even really staying with the theme of what you started out with, because your soul will keep trying to pull you in a different direction.
Yeah. The question is, your job is not to, but your job is to get the boat and keep it in the stream, not to try to direct it exactly where you think it needs to go. Get in the stream and you learn to captain it so it stays in the stream. That's
yep.
the way I always think of my attention. Stay in the current, the flow of that creative stream will guide you effortlessly through your story. When you stay in it. But I have certainly in my life tried to sort of decide, well, I should do this, I should do that, I could do this, I should do that, this, and sort of tried to force myself into it, and
yep.
I suffered. Life graciously. Not punished me, but brought me some suffering so I could know that it wasn't working and why. And it sounded like it did for you too, because in your own story, you describe you were I find this fascinating. Reese, you were a tennis coach, a very successful tennis coach at a prestigious
yes.
Country club there in Boston.
Yep.
And so even though, and you were in a marriage that turned out to be one that you need to end, and
yep.
you need to end that job and so on. And like a lot of spiritual teachers, you reached a bottom. You know, you had been drinking and you just weren't happy, even though it looked like you were. But even
yep.
through all that, you still were coaching, weren't you? And so the seeds were there in
right.
in many ways. You found some version.
And the truth was that what I was trying to be in the world, I had also started a corporation and built and created a product, an incredibly creative product that taught people how to be coordinated and high tech and everything. And so it's probably 100 years ahead of its time.
Right.
And trying to do those types of businesses was really failing. I was a relative financial success, but not like the real knowledgeable achiever would have taken any of those things I was doing and make $1 million. And
right.
And yet each day I would go out on the tennis court and I would be able to make magic happen when I was teaching. And so my archetype, my primary archetype of my life purpose is to be a teacher. And now, of course, most teachers learn what other people teach, and then they teach it. And mine isn't really that. So we do a lot of work in the school around archetypes, and so my primary archetype is a teacher, but it's really the professor of the Reese method. I've always come up with my own way of doing everything.
Yeah,
and
I
then,
know.
And then I sell people on that. I'm like an evangelist for this idea that this is really important. And so I studied martial arts for many, many years. I studied lots of esoteric types of things, but it was always my own private thing. I never thought anybody would want to hear about that stuff. And I used to have these dreams and these visions. But growing up as, you know, thinking I'm going to be a strong, you know, father and man and businessman. And the thing I wanted to, just trying to be, was killing me because I was running my energy through the wrong, I was running my energy through the wrong person. I was literally running it through a mask. Rather than, and so I had problems with people at work. They didn't understand me. I was working for country club folks, and they loved a really organized budget, and I had a very creative budget. And I thought I was being the great dad and provider, and I was being an absent father. I was being a person who was, became a workaholic because I was trying so hard to be somebody I wasn't. I never had time just to play the way I was born to. So knowing that quality within me, and then going and doing the work in an energy medicine school where we really leave no stone unturned to discover that I wasn't what I thought I was and what I had spent literally 30 years disciplining and becoming an expert at, and found out that I actually had become an expert at nothing. Then I realized, so this idea of becoming an expert at something is really not mastery at all. And I had become an expert in tennis and in martial arts and in everything, all the things that I studied, and yet I wasn't an expert in knowing myself or my real motivations in life. Once I got in touch with that, then my writing started getting smarter. My the way I spoke, I was speaking for the tennis industry. What I would speak about would all of a sudden, people would really get it, and I was making a greater impact. And that's when I decided that I was going to start my own school, because this is work that is it's like mystery school work. And it goes beyond just learning a new technique so you can get a better job or find a mate that you might be happy with. It's really much deeper than that. It's discovering this quality within you that has infinite amounts of energy and never tires, and every time you do it, it gives you more energy.
Yeah, and and it's a good point. And one of the most mysterious things for a lot of people when they start finding this sort of authentic success is the effortlessness of it. I've found that to be the case for me, that whenever I've had the most success at things, it has been the most effortless experience. It's not that I don't put the time in or the energy, but there is no effort required because I'm not working against anything. That
very true.
I'm always doing the thing that I just do anyway. Like I tell my students and the people I go and teach and so on, is I would be doing this anyway. The fact that I'm getting paid for it now is nice, but if you found me on the street, I would do this anyway. This is all I ever do, is talk about this stuff. And so now I'm getting paid for it. So there's no effort required. This is what I like to do.
Yeah, and that's the sign of a calling, of a life purpose. You do it, you'd be doing it anyway, and you have been doing it. And ever since you were a little child, you've been in some way, shape, or form teaching people. If you've got that as your primary archetype and quality, you actually have a lot more of the knowledgeable achiever than I have. But it's a,
you know,
it's
I
a,
thought I was a knowledgeable achiever. I thought it's funny you say that, because I was looking at, I thought, but when you described the knowledgeable achiever as a writer of textbook, I thought, well, that ain't me. I can't do the textbook thing because it's never worked for me.
Using that as sort of like they're the ones that can do that. But you also have you have probably a strong secondary of the creative idealist who has the writer. The true writer is going to be a creative person. But someone who can teach others the difference between the creative idealist and the charismatic, and I'm sorry, the creative idealist, which are the creative people, and the knowledgeable achievers, is they both think a lot. They both have brilliant minds that are always working and thinking of new things and organizing. And the knowledgeable achiever creates a structure for it right away and can make something happen. So, for instance, somebody comes to you and they say, "I got all these great ideas," and you say, "Okay, start here," and then here,
right.
And you're able to pull them into sort of a container. Whereas the creative idealist just continues to expand the container, and they're always looking for more and more and so they've got great ideas, and then they say, "Wow, that was a great idea." And this is a great idea. And wow, that's even a better idea. I love these ideas. And whereas the knowledgeable achiever gets, you know, they have a, you know, they'll have their ideas, and then they'll say, okay, let's work on this one. Let's bring this one into the world because that's a really good one. And then boom, the next one and the next one. And so they use their creativity in an opposite way. One goes down the body and grounds it in the earth. The other one just keeps it up high. So ultimately, the creative idealists, which are probably your best clients, are the ones that need you the most because they need a knowledgeable achiever to remind them of what to do. My editor is I picked her because she was such a fantastic knowledgeable achiever. Nancy Marriott is a fantastic editor. She helped me edit this and really just got me to a point where it's just like, look, you know, you can write a whole nother book while we do this, or we can publish this one.
Good advice. Hey, we actually have a caller, I think, who would like to ask you a question. I believe I recognize his number. Is that you, Jeffrey? Jeffrey, are you there? No, he can't hear me. He's been on hold for... Well, Jeffrey, I'm sorry. I'm going to put you back on hold.
Are you there, Bill?
Nope, you're there. Yes, we're there. Would you like to ask Reese a question? I can.
Bill, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Oh, dear. I can, but can you hear him, Reese?
I can hear him, yes.
Excellent. I couldn't get it off of the mute. sorry about that. Anyway, your guest is on a wonderful roll. What a dynamic speaker. I'm just trying to absorb some of that incredible energy he's projecting out, which really leads me to my question. Can you give me a few examples, and I'm sure everybody else can benefit from this, how do you focus your energies in the right direction so you have that capability, potential to accomplish the things you want to do?
Oh, good question, Jeff. All right, lay it on us, Reese.
The rock that we build, most people will find that they feel like there's something missing in their lives, and they look around and they see, well, this is a problem and that's a problem, and here I've got this emotional thing and I've got that, and so they try to fix their lives by getting rid of the problems. But the problem is that the mind is a problem creating machine. That Einstein said it, that the mind that created the problem can't solve the problem because the mind only creates problems. It's not designed to do anything other than find problems and solve them and look at the world as a problem. On the other hand, your soul isn't against anything like the brain is. The soul's for something. And so one of the foundational things that I do in our program is I give people something like this. This is the book is finally published, but throughout the program I will give them an assessment, or we'll work with people and we'll show them and we'll awaken within them the awareness of this core quality within them, which then is a referral point. And so to sort of begin the process of being energized, of knowing who we are and making these strong choices and really enjoying our life again, we do a number of exercises, one of which is I call the secret place, where you just go back to your childhood and find that place in your childhood where you sort of escaped from the house, got away, maybe it was up in a tree or out in the backyard or someplace where you were, or in the woods or in maybe in the attic or someplace that was your place and nobody else got there, no parents, no brothers, sisters. You tend to have this place that you were able to go, and if you were like to read there, or you like to sort of pretend you were a pirate or whatever you were doing there, and then ever how you felt there, that's actually your soul. That's what it feels like to be in your soul. And then if you are there and you come back into the house with your family and you notice that there's a compression, there's like a minimizing of your energy to fit into the family. And that's the beginning of being somebody that you aren't. And so we take people back to this awareness that there's a quality within them that's literally the rock you have to build yourself on. And then if you then release your problems or your pain or your patterns in your life, then you always come back to that realization that, well, like for me, I'm a creative idealist. As soon as I knew that these issues that I'm getting rid of free me up to then be more creative. Or there's a situation that comes, and I say, and you know, someone says, what do you want to do? I have to, if I just say to myself, well, what would my creative idealist do? I know my knowledgeable achiever would say, you have to do it like this and like this and like this, and it's probably not even going to be good enough. Whereas my creative idealist is going to be like, my creative idealist is going to say, anything, let's try this, let's try that. As long as it's fun, right. I'm in. Does that
I
answer
like
your
it.
Question?
Well, actually, Jeff's on hold right now, but I was going to say that what I loved about your answer, and I think it's key, is that, and I'm going to now do a dramatic reduction of it, but it's what do you want more of, not what do you want less of. Focus on what you want more of.
Right.
Because you said don't try to solve a problem because that's getting rid of things. What do you want more of? What's the feeling you want more of?
So hold on. It's slightly different than that because the ego wants more. The soul is
what do you
for.
Want to, okay, yeah. All right, yes. I agree. So what do you want more, what do you want greater experience of in your life?
Right.
What do you want?
What do you want to stand
you
for?
Know, I guess I think for myself, I think of certain experiences, and I think of how I feel during those experiences.
Right.
And I think I would like to feel that way more often, not just
right.
when I'm doing X. Can't I feel that way all the time? That's what I want, and I can, of course, but I decided that in certain parts of my life, well, I can't. When I'm doing that, and I started questioning that. Does that make sense? I think that's what I meant anyway.
Yeah, totally,
more.
Totally. And that's ultimately, you know, that's ultimately our, you know, our greatness within us. And that's one of the things about the profile system. There are other profile systems that are excellent. Enneagram and Myers-Briggs and DISC are all very good, but they're behavioral based. And
right.
this is energetic based, and so behaviors. The problem with behaviors is that we are so smart. We are like the smartest creatures, and we can actually take these natural feelings that we have about knowing who we are. Because the only way to know who you are is to feel it. You can't think who you are. But what we do
right.
is we let our brain take over and tell us who we are, because we're supposed to know who we are by the time we're 35, God knows, or by, you know, 15 or whatever we
right.
whatever the law was
right.
that we had to know who we were. And so we
right.
just make it up. And so that we don't know what we're, you know, we can't be for anything. What we are is we're sort of against being a bad or being this. And so
yeah.
and so that rediscovery of that aliveness within us, you know, is so essential.
It is. Oh, I could talk to you for a long time, Reese, but our time is nearly up. I have only time for one final question. I'd like to ask all my guests, and what I'd like you to do is finish the sentence for me. Are you ready?
Yes.
You were born ready, I know it, but I'm going to let you get ready anyway. Okay, here is the question, or the sentence. If writing has taught me anything, it has taught me what?
It has taught me that a good editor is the best thing you can have.
Oh, interesting. So she really helped you.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I'm a creative idealist. This book is 500. You know, is a many, many pages, and there are probably 1,500 pages on the floor, and for me to know what kind of writer you are, a knowledgeable achiever doesn't need an editor. They need someone to keep them going, you know, adding more creative ideas to and richness to what they're writing. And so they
mm-hmm.
need guidance that way. Creative idealists need someone to corral them. Emotional intelligence specialists need somebody to give them structure and to make sure that they're writing on a regular basis, because they'll be overwhelmed by the process of trying to write an entire book. So they'll write a chapter and it's like, oh, I need to take a year off. And so they
right.
need to... You know, they need to be guided that way. And charismatic leaders just need, you know, to stay focused, because they get bored. If they have to write a book for more than a few months, they're going to be bored of it and move on to something else. And they have to be encouraged to stay with what they're doing and see it as a mission rather than as something where they tend to, in their defense, they tend to just be thinking about it more as a you know, as a way to make some money fast, or to get famous fast, or do something, and they'll write with that intention rather than really writing from their deepest passion. Good editor. Can I tell your people how they can find
that? You should absolutely tell my people how they can find out more about you and your book.
Okay. All right. So the easiest way to find the book is to go to discoveryourpurposebook.com.
Okay.
So it's discoveryourpurposebook.com. That's all one word, and that's a website page where you're still going to buy it through Amazon, and get the Amazon price. But what you'll also do when you go through that is you'll be getting a whole bunch of bonuses from me and keynote lectures and things all about the profile, so to give you even a richer experience of it. And when you buy the book, you also there's also a member site that goes along with it with the purchase of the book, which has meditations and has all sorts of cool stuff. And then also, if you're interested in sort of finding out more about what I do in the school, I'm actually doing a blab, what's called a blab. It's a live streaming tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern, and you go to rhysmethod.com/webinar, and you can check that out. So,
awesome.
So you can go to either place and find the book. You can find out about what we do and how we take this even further in the school.
Excellent. Well, Rhys, I wish you the best of luck. The book is awesome. I think your work you're doing is awesome. I just wish you nothing but continued success.
Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.
All right.
He cut off slightly. Well, a good editor. Yes, it's true. We need help. Find the people who can help you. People want to help. It feels good to help other people. I will be talking to A.C. Fuller next week. I missed our interview last time. He was supposed to be on, but he'll be back on Wednesday, September 30th. And then I'll be talking to Anna Leffler the week after that. Until then, you know what you got to do, people? Go do something you love. Always make the